Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship. Our preacher this morning is Mr. Alan Golfin, and we offer him a very warm welcome. If there's anybody new here, we welcome you to stay for tea and coffee after the service. I now have something to read out that Helen and Alan have sent. Hello from Haiti, everybody. We have reached here safely and spent nearly a week here already. The boys are managing in the heat and are happy to see Granny and Granda. My parents are very well and have taken us to see many places that are part of their lives. A clinic in the mountains, the supermarket and a bookshop, as well as the Methodist Church offices where they work. Their house is very small, but has been slightly extended since we visited in 2013, so we are actually able to stay with them in their own home this time. With no air conditioning, we are moving slowly each day. Today is Methodist Conference Sunday, so after you have worshipped together, we will be getting up to join a huge service which will apparently last for 3 to 4 hours. We wish you God's blessings this week and look forward to seeing you on our return next Sunday. God bless Helen, Alan, Peter and David. Can I also remind everybody that we're having a meal after the service next week, so if you want to go, please put your name on the list so that we know how many numbers are staying. I've also got a thank you to give you from my son Daniel and Rie. He wants to thank everybody for all the kind prayers for Nikolai. He's doing really well. He's just had his checkup and the doctors are really happy with his progress. He still has to stay on the anti-rejection drug, but because he's grown all of a sudden, they've had to up the dosage and they're monitoring that at the moment. But they'd like to thank everybody and hope that you'll keep him in your prayers. Can we now say our prayer for today, and then we'll follow this with our introit hymn 24. Hear our prayer, O Lord, before this act of worship. We come to worship you not in a vacuum, but bringing with us the choices, decisions, and experiences of the last week. Guide and direct us in the way of fairness and truth, and help us to travel with hope and confidence in your name. Amen. And now we'll sing hymn 24, Come, Now is the Time to Worship. To cooperate with you as our friend and guide, in good times and bad. We pray with trust that we can learn to listen to you and know you are always with us. We pray through our friend and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And a prayer of adoration. Steadfast God, you deserve all our devotion and trust. You bind yourself to promises that defy our imagination, but guarantee us a part in your providential care of all creation. You see to the heart of every matter, touching needs visible and invisible, summoning old and young, revered and outcast, to wholeness of life. You see to the core of our hearts, challenging us when we use shallow rituals as a smokescreen to hide our selfish indifference to the needs of others. But even the transience of our faltering love does not discourage your devotion to us. So in this time of worship, when we remember your constant love for us, we offer you our praise and thanks, bringing with them our hope that by your power we might grow in the faith that gives glory to you. Through Christ our healer and master. Amen.
Amen.
And our prayer of praise and thanksgiving. Mighty God, we praise you. that you have made us your children and filled us with your Spirit. We thank you that we can trust you with our lives as you guide us forward ever deeper into your truth. Amen.
Yes.
You sure?
Maybe.
I'm going to fill a bag with water and stick pencils in it.
Okay.
Do you still trust me?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to put a bag over your head.
No.
Shrinking. Well, in that case, I'm going to put this on here. Just in case.
Yes, I think that's a good idea.
And we're now going to sing hymn 481, The Lord's My Shepherd. Have a short prayer before the children go out to Sunday club. Lord God, bless the children as they go out to learn all about you and to learn how to trust in you, as we all need to learn how to trust in you. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now have a prayer of confession. There is a bidding. When I say, just God, merciful God, please respond with, we will put our trust in you. Just God, merciful God,
we will put our trust in you.
Loving God, the world is yours, but we behave as if it were ours. Just God, merciful God, we will put our trust in you. Loving God, we belong to each other, but we behave as if we stand alone. Just God, merciful God, we will put our trust in you. Loving God, we are your family, but we behave as if we were our own creation. Just God, merciful God, we will put our trust in you. We forget you. We act against you. We break what we should cherish. Do not give us what we deserve, O Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Change us. Help us to start again. Just God, merciful God,
we will put our trust in you.
Amen. Amen. And now let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we now take up our offering to God. Lord, accept these gifts and help us to use them in your service. Amen.
Amen.
And we now have our Old Testament reading and our epistle reading.
The Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah chapter 17, starting at verse 5 and ending at verse 11. This is what the Lord says: cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. It will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. He will be like a tree planted by the water, sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind, to reward a man according to his conduct and according to what his deeds deserve. Like a partridge that hatches eggs it did not lay is the man who gains riches by unjust means. When his life is half gone, they will desert him, and in the end he will prove to be a fool. And the New Testament reading is from Philippians, Philippians chapter 4, commencing at verse 4. And here, Paul, writing to the Philippians, reminds them of what we've just heard by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Oops. Amen. Lord, may our hearts take heed of both these readings. Amen.
And now we sing hymn 82, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And now we have our gospel reading. The gospel reading is from John chapter 12. Verses 20 to 36. Jesus predicts his death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to them. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say, 'The Son of Man must be lifted up'? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light,
just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Thank you, Lynn, for leading us so wonderfully in our worship this morning, and Nat and Maureen for bringing our Lord's word to us. In our day-to-day lives, we're always having to trust that the things we want to happen will happen in the way that we want them. And as Lynn so wonderfully demonstrated, that the things we don't want to happen won't happen. We set the alarm and trust that it will go off and wake us up at the right time. If we use an electric clock, we trust that there will not be a power cut through the night. Those who drive trust that their cars will start and get them to their destinations on time and without any breakdowns. And those of us who use public transport trust that the bus, the train, the metro, whatever we are using at the time, will get us on our journey with no delays that may make us late for any appointments. When we do our shopping, we decide what will be good and what may not be good to eat by the information on the packaging. We trust that what we're reading will be accurate, and that what we do buy will be fit and healthy for us. Trusting that the farmers and other food producers have acted correctly and have not used ingredients or methods of production that could be harmful to us. Sometimes that can be difficult to us, deciding what is good and not good for us, what we can fit to eat or drink. Dietitians are always warning us of sugar content, salt content and other things that are not healthy for us to eat, but quite easy to buy. Do we cook our own meals? As I do, being on my own, do I buy ready-made meals? Decisions we have to make, and we still have to trust that what we are purchasing is what it says it will be. To say when we go to a restaurant or a fast food burger, we trust that what we are served will be what we asked for. If we want a beef burger, we trust that it's going to be beef and not meat from some other animal, and that it has been produced and cooked in a clean environment. We are always having to put our trust in people and things, trusting that what we get is what we want and what we have asked for. As a Christian, being brought up from a Christian from being a youngster, I've always been encouraged and taught to trust in God. And if it is meant to happen, that is, if it is part of God's plan for us, God will make it happen. Whatever the it is, a new job, a house, a holiday, many of the other things, but part of our lives that happen, we have to put our trust in God that he will make them happen if they are part of his plan for us, even the simplest things in life. I remember, I knew a man, no longer obviously true of our Lord, but when going into a car park, especially the Metro Centre, he bring me a lift home when I used to be at Washington, he would offer a prayer before he set off, asking God to guide him to a convenient parking bay. But it always worked. On entering the car park, he seemed to instinctively know which road to go down. As he got near the front, near the entrance, there'd be a car pulling out. He trusted in God all his life, even when he was very ill with motor neuron disease. But he had a wonderful, wonderful trust in God, and God honoured that trust. But we also need to be aware in our lives that Satan is still at work. and he likes to put thoughts into our minds, thoughts encouraging us to put our trust in ourselves and earthly things. Things that can become like false gods. Things that we can depend on. Things that can take hold of us and our lives and can change us and sometimes separate us from God. He takes advantages of our weaknesses, uses our obsessions to be like wedges widening up the gap he tries to create between us and God. And I believe there are many false gods. A modern false god could be the internet. It's very good in some times, but we've got to be careful of how we use it. Many people trusting that everything that they see will be honest and true. And just read reports on the news this morning, how many people have been duped by scams and lost money because they put their trust in something that at first seemed to be good for them. Something you'd seen on the internet and it wasn't. And they've ended up losing lots of money. We still at times put more trust in things than we do in God. Many circuits use computers to draw up the plan rather than by letting the Holy Spirit guide their planners' thinking and the placing of preachers to relevant churches. We put our trust in what we see and hear in the television and newspapers and magazines, to be honest and true. But often we get different views of events depending on the background and opinions of a reporter. The debates on Brexit, for me, are a fine example, with many people, myself included, struggling to discern between what is a fact and what is somebody's opinion that may or may not happen. In our Old Testament lesson, we heard how Jeremiah told the people of God's warning of trusting in other people rather than trusting in himself. It's not read. They could be like a bush in the wilds, in the wastelands. When prosperity came, they wouldn't see it. But for those who did put their trust in God, they would be blessed. They would be fed. They would be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots into the stream. It did not fear when the heat came. Its leaves were always green. It had no worries of a time of drought, and it never failed to bear fruit. People today may not be as wicked as those were in Jeremiah's day, but when you look at life today, I'm beginning to wonder. I think Sodom and Gomorrah had nothing compared to what some of the things we see going on in our world today. But there are people today who boast about how good we are, how we have achieved their wealth and status on their own grounds. Don't give credence to God and how God may or may not have helped them. They don't give God the credit for their prosperity. And throughout ages, many people have trusted in their own wealth and possessions, despite all the scriptural warnings against this. There are many passages of scripture which warn against putting trust in possessions. The story of a rich young man who came to Jesus asking what he should do to inherit eternal life. He was told to give everything that he had away to the poor. That was too much for him, we are told. And it's a parable of a rich farmer who decided to build bigger barns so he could keep all his crops and he would sit back and relax and enjoy an indulgent life. He was told by God that his life would come to an end at any time, maybe even that night. That is a parable in Luke's Gospel. All of these are warnings of the danger of putting our trust in our possessions to make us happy and content. For many people today, putting their trust in and attaining to be wealthy can change them. Sometimes people resort to illegal means to increase their wealth. We live in an age where gambling is glorified. It's made to look glamorous. We're bombarded on our televisions and adverts in the magazines for web bingo websites, lottery games and scratch cards, encouraging us to trust that they will make us rich and content. They don't tell us that for every one winner, there's hundreds, if not thousands, of losers. These places, these businesses have got to make money somehow. Everyone can't be a winner, and everyone can't take thousands of pounds. But they work on our minds in trying to trust in them. False trust. It's very controversial, I know, but I honestly believe that the worst decision that was ever made in the Methodist Conference was to allow churches to have raffles and tombola stalls. I believe, and I think I'm spiritually empowered to believe this, that they are wrong. Thankfully, not all churches do have them as ways of raising money, but many do. I consider them to be the influence of Satan and not things that are pleasing to God. They make our churches to be more like betting shops and casinos, not houses of prayer and worship. Sorry if I'm upsetting people, but I honestly, truly believe this. For some young people, I believe they can be the first steps on the road to gambling addiction. We're told in the press that there are many youngsters today, school children, who are addicted to gambling. Youngsters can go in and now and buy scratch cards. I've never seen anybody check how old we are, whether they're old enough to get them, but 14, 15, 16-year-olds, big. Not often you can't tell somebody's age. My own grandson's only 13, but he's taller than me. You know, and if we start that by saying to youngsters, come on, buy a tombola ticket, it's the seeds we're sowing. And I believe it's all wrong. I do not believe that God's grace depends on being lucky. We do not receive God's grace by chance. God's grace and his gift of eternal life is for everyone who puts their trust in him and believes that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, and that he gave his life for us as an atonement for our sins on the cross and is now in heaven with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Ever since Satan enticed Eve to eat the forbidden fruit because it would be pleasing to do, even though God had told her not to do so, Satan has been tempting us to do things that are pleasing to us but are not pleasing to God. But we need to trust in God and seek to do the things that are pleasing to him. Seek to do his will. We need to praise... excuse me. We need to pray to God for his guidance in seeking to do what is right and resist his help in resisting Satan's enticements and temptations. We need to seek God's guidance in everything that we do, trusting in him and not in our own devices. It's not easy, I admit. Jeremiah told the people not to be anxious, but we do get anxious. It's a natural thing. We get anxious about our families. We get anxious about what will happen when we're working. But it can cause illness, especially when we try to do things on our own. We forget or ignore the passages of Scripture that call us to trust in God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we read, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will and all that you do, and he will show you which path to take." Trust in the Lord in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. The psalmist in Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4 tells us, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." The Lord will provide. I can stand testimony to that. And our reading to Paul's letter to the Philippians responds in a similar way. Rejoice in the Lord always, he began. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Jesus told the disciples and those around him that in a few days before his crucifixion, and he referred to himself as the light, part of our gospel passage, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Trust in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. As I say, it's not easy. Our human frailties and Satan's attempts to insecure us often lead us to believe that we would like to happen will not happen in our lives, and we may not succeed. As I said, and I can vouch for this from my own years of experience, trust in God, and if it is meant to happen, that is, if it is God's will for us, he will make a way for it to happen, whatever that is. Marriage, work, home, God will provide. I've been married and widowed 3 times. But each of those marriages were God's will for me, all part of God's will for me. Married to my first wife, when the second child came along, we had a son and a daughter. We needed a house with 3 bedrooms. I was in a downstairs flat that I owned, which was only 2 bedrooms. The Lord led me to a house. It was a terrace bungalow, an old terrace bungalow in Dunstan. It was only 2 bedrooms, but the thoughts came to my mind, however, knock that wall down, move that, got a builder to draw the plans, and I converted a 2-bedroom bungalow into a 3-bedroom bungalow. All part of the Lord. I have a wonderful God. He's an architect, he's a computer expert, he's all sorts. Sit at my computer, I'm struggling for something, I just pray, and the answer will come to my mind. Trust in the Lord always, and whatever it is meant to happen, will happen to us. Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are often tempted to trust in our own devices when we are looking to make changes in our own or our church's lives, especially when we need funding to keep us going, rather than coming to you first for guidance. Forgive us for the times when we've neglected you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit to inspire our hearts with your thoughts and desires for us, and help us to be alert to his calling. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. To lead us into a time of intercession, we sing that wonderful hymn number 519. When we're not sure how to pray, all we need to do is to lay our concerns in God's hands and trust him to deal with them according to his will. Number 519. So we come now to our time when we lift to the Lord our concerns for our world, our churches, and ourselves. And as my custom, there will be a time during these prayers to lift to the Lord, spoken or unspoken, the concerns of those on our own hearts. Let us pray. Loving Almighty Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are living under oppressive regimes, risking their lives because they trust in you and they want to openly worship you. Thinking especially of those living in North Korea and in many of the parts of the world where are controlled by extremists. Bangladesh, Pakistan, India, most of the other Muslim countries, Lord. Many places in our world where it is difficult to worship you and people risk their lives in doing so. We pray for a special anointing upon each and every one of them by your Holy Spirit, that they may have a wonderful awareness of your grace, reaching out to them, comforting and embracing them. We pray for agencies like Open Doors, Barnabas Fund and Christian Aid, with people working many times secretly and in danger to their own lives to bring comfort and support to the oppressed and persecuted Christians throughout our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. On this Homelessness Sunday, we pray for the many people throughout our world who are homeless. Refugees fleeing from fighting in Syria and Yemen and many other parts of the world where there is conflict. We pray for your protection on those sleeping rough in our streets and city streets, Lord. And we pray for the many young people who have left home because of the breakdown of relationships with their families or because of a change in their financial circumstances. We pray for agencies like the People's Kitchen and to many of the fellowships and food banks providing help and support to those in need. May they all too know of your love and grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And we pray closer home, Lord. We pray for our own circuit and our church here at Denton Burn, asking that you will continue to bless us in our outreach. And as we come to the end of week of prayer for Christian unity, we pray that the bonds of unity that have been made this week will not end, but they will continue, Lord. And we just pray for the Churches Together team that meet in this part of Newcastle. We pray for our ministry team, with my fellow local preachers, our worship leaders, and all our youth organisation leaders. And we pray for all our stewards and all those of us with roles of responsibility in our circuit and churches who have put their trust in you and stepped out in faith to serve you. We pray for the community projects supported by our circuit, and especially those in this area, Lord, the Chat Shop and Cornerstone. And we pray for the clothes bar at my own church at Leamington, giving thanks for all those who have trusted in you and stepped out in faith to work on these projects that are changing many people's lives. We give thanks and blessings, Lord, for the lives that have been changed at Leamington from the since we started on the clothes bar. We pray for those of our fellowship here who are unable to be with us this morning, those who are ill, and those who, due to restricted mobility, are not able to get out and about as easily as they would wish to. And we take this now few moments just to lift to the Lord any concerns we have on our own hearts. Ian and Fran and their unborn baby Ben, who has heart problems. Lord, we just pray your blessing on those names that have been lifted to you silently and spoken out, Lord. We just pray a special blessing of your grace upon them. And we pray for ourselves, asking that you give us answered to our prayers, Lord, and give thanks for the answered prayers we have received from you in the past. And ask that you reach down to our own deepest point of need and just fill it with your wonderful healing wholeness, which only you can provide for us. This we may God the Father, the creator of all life, God the Son, whose word is good news for us all, and God the Holy Spirit, whose gifts enable us to be good disciples, God, guide and heal us all, today and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And let us share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.